Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. On this episode, we are going to go over the Astros and A's. And by us, I mean my special guest, Steven Peterson. Steve, what's up, buddy?
What's up? What's up? What's up? How are you, bud?
I'm good. If you guys want to know the backstory, when I went to the Missions game to watch the Hooks play the Missions, I met Steven at the gate going into the game. And now we're good pals. And here you are on the podcast.
I legitimately was listening to the podcast on the way to, I believe it was the opening series or second series of the season for the Mission. You were wearing the podcast shirt. I said, hey, do you like that show? You said, oh, you talked to me about it. He said, by the way, I'm Rob. What? And we kind of hit it off.
Yeah.
Ended up sitting right next to each other, had a few beverages, enjoyed some baseball, and the rest is history, you know?
And you got a Rhett Cobb signed baseball.
I did.
Dude,
I
that did. Guy was like the pitcher of the month in the minor leagues for the Astros, and he got called up to AAA just now. So hold on to that thing.
Well, I was about to say, he got called up, and what's so crazy about him is – he's not a big guy, and he throws
he's
some
not,
gas.
He's not. He's like a high school kid.
He throws some gas and a sweeping slider, and you're just like, okay, I'll take it.
When I was down there talking to him, I felt like I was talking to a little kid.
When
you watch him pitch, you're like, that guy's a stud. But it's just different. It's nuts. He's really, really good. So anyway, we had a 3-3 homestand. I just saw that waiting for you to log in on the old – there's always some good information after each game, but I really don't watch it, but you can get some good stuff there. But anyway, as you guys know, it's always nice to end the series on a win. The Astros dropped the first two games versus Oakland. That sucked. But let me bring this up first. I was reading the Houston Chronicle. I wasn't really reading it. I guess I read a story on Twitter or something, or X, whatever it's called. And it was, should we be concerned about the Astros September swoon? And somebody that listens likes this. It's Michael Shapiro. He likes me to give credit to guys that write the story. So what it said in the story is the Astros are 5-6 in September, and that was before today's game. So now they're 6-6. They're 2-6 at home. Now that's 3-6. But he put some pretty cool things out there. Each of the last 7 World Series champions posted a winning record in September. In 2017, the Astros were 21-8, and last year they won 22 out of the last 31 games. So, are you concerned at all about how the Astros are playing in September?
I am very concerned about how we're playing at home. Not so much how we're playing in September, just at home in general. It is such a frustrating and weird thing the way the entire season's gone. And it's just, I don't understand how a team can be so different at home. It just, especially this team that's been so good at home for so long, mainly the main roster, same rosters there, not a ton of turnover. What has happened? You know what I mean? That's my main concern, is what has happened. You know, the right guys are starting to come around. Is it going to happen or not? That's my main thing, you know?
It seems like with injuries, the core group is just now barely getting together. Michael Brantley came back. I can't remember the numbers, bud, but they were talking about it, I think, last night. The amount of runs Altuve's been scoring, he's been back for like 40 games. I don't know what it is, but like 40 games and he has 40 runs, something like that. It's ridiculous.
See if I can find it. He has.
So let me say something else while you look it up. The Phillies lost 8 of their last 12 games last year, and they reached the World Series. And that's one of those things where sometimes the best team doesn't get there. It's just the team that's hottest. And in 2015, we should have beat these guys. But the Kansas City Royals, they were the last team to have a losing record in September. They were 15-17, the last team to win a World Series. Did you find the numbers?
I have. So they might have meant after his second injury, he's been back 40 games or 40 runs. But overall, he's got 75 games played and 68 runs this year. So he's been on a very hot streak of 40 and 40 since that second injury. So, I mean, he's been crushing it since when he is healthy this year. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. So we look at games 1 and 2, and I do a TikTok video before each game, and I boldly, and it's not even boldly, you got Framber and JV in both games. I'm like, we're going to win. I guarantee it. And we don't win either one of them. In game one, Framber went 7 innings and allowed 3 runs on 4 hits. He had 10 strikeouts. He pitched really, really good, but the Astros offense had 3 hits. 3 hits and 2 walks. They lose 4-0. 0-for-5 runners in scoring position. They left 5 on base. Oakland had 4 runs and 7 hits. Framber gave up 2 home runs, but he pitched good enough for us to beat Oakland.
I completely agree. And it's so interesting to me because on the way home a little bit ago, I got to watch up to the 8th inning, and then I got in the car. And on the Astros radio, Bagwell was on there calling the game. He said something interesting to me, and I want to get – so Framber pitched good enough for us to beat the A's. And the offense had 3 hits, as you just said.
Yeah.
And Bagwell said, and I quote, about tonight's game, "This is what we can do if we just get a little bit of starting pitching. We can get to this bullpen, dominate, and win it all again," end quote. And my thought was, a lot of it's not the pitching this year because we've lost a lot of close games. So I thought that was very interesting, especially this series. Coming into today, we were outscored 10-2.
Yeah.
How can you tell me?
I think what it is like the Astros will score 12 runs and then they score 0. Then they score 11 and then they score 1. They're really inconsistent. And I got to say, like, they have the talent to be the best team in baseball, but, and I'm shocked that they're in first place, how inconsistent they are. And that record at home is just amazing.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's almost like the Mets this year. They paid for everything. They had the, you know, on paper best roster in baseball, and it just fell apart. I mean, we're not falling apart, but to what we fans and people that view the game and the Astros for the last 6 years have seen, this is falling apart for us. You know what I mean? It's peaks and valleys this year.
Yeah, we've talked about it on the podcast before, whoever I've had on. And it's just the fans are freaking out this year because they're used to being comfortably in first place. And Steffi was on the last time, I think, and we were both, I don't know, let's see what your opinion is of this. I actually think that this is the first year that we get to scoreboard watch. I'm watching Texas, I'm watching Seattle, I'm watching Toronto and what they do every game. And it's fun. It's a little stressful, but it's fun.
You added that last word to the end. I was going to say, it is fun. We get to be, I mean, obviously we're Astros fans, but we get to be the sport of baseball fans even more because we're not as dominant. So it is fun in that aspect, but you added the exact word. It's very stressful. You know, we should have come out of these first two games. Like you said, the first one, you can't lose these games to a 100 loss team. There's just no excuse at home. Just no excuse.
So game two is JV. I got a little bit here. Top of the first, he gave up an RBI single and a two-run homer, and we're down 3-0. I'm thinking JV is going to throw like 7 scoreless inning, mow down like 10 batters, but it didn't happen. We had the bases loaded with one out, and Tucker grounded out. We got a run, and then I think Abreu struck out. So there's a little opportunity there. They had an RBI double. Tony Kemp had home run number 5. That's how bad it was going for JV as far as giving up dingers. That was Tony Kemp's 5th home run, and they're up 5-1. We make it 5-2, 6-2. They win. The Astros had 2 runs on 6 hits, a little better than game 1, but still not enough to win. JV didn't do as well as Framber, but he did go 7. That's one thing about having these two studs in the rotation. But he had 8 hits and 5 runs, but he gives up the long balls. But he didn't walk anybody, but they had a combined 17 strikeouts. That's pretty good. Just not enough offense.
So I have a question, because we have a running theme over here. One of my best friends, Nick, and a bunch of the guys that I get to see him bowl with, when it's a Verlander day, we talk about, like you said, you expect him to go long and do great. But we always talk about, who's he going to give up his home run to in the first two innings? It's not just this year. I remember when he was here his first stint, when we first got him, and then his Cy Young year last year, playing every game. You're going to have a home run in the first two games. You just have to outscore it. And the way our offense and team is playing right now, you know JV's going to do it and then be a lockdown stud. But until then, our offense has got to back him up. You know, it's just not happening. And, I mean, he gave up, 5 earned, which is not a JV outing like usual. Usually 2 or 3 off homers is what you expect from him.
Two solo shots.
Yeah, 10 to 12
strikeouts. If you're not watching the game and you see the score, it's 2-0, you're like, all right, JV probably gave up 2 solo shots. That's why we're down 2-0. The only offense we had, Dubon went 2-for-3, and he scored. My boy Maldi went 1-for-2 with a walk. And then Tucker and Pena drove in the only 2 runs. But I don't know. So are you comfortable? Let me ask you this. Are you comfortable, and I already said I was, with JV and Framber heading into the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. Those two.
Yeah, 100%. Me too.
I will get to the one guy I'm comfortable or uncomfortable. I'm only uncomfortable with one guy in our rotation. We'll get to him.
That's pretty interesting. All right, so both starters went 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, and 7 strikeouts, and we lost. So that's not good. So let's look at today's lineup. I got a lot of notes on today, so we breezed past the first two games we lost. Who wants to hear about that? Nobody, right? So Singleton's in there for Abreu. Yiner's in there for Maldi, which is an addition. And then Myers is in there for Chaz, right? So I look at this lineup, and some people are like, Singleton? Like, where's Chaz? Like, we want the optimum lineup. And when I looked at it, I was like, you know what? When you have JV and Framber get beat by the Oakland A's, and you kind of sub the bench on the last game of the series, this is the kind of games you win. And the Astros almost no-hit these dudes, and we'll get to that later, but it was crazy.
Yeah, if you look at the other two games, Abreu, the previous two games against the A's, 0-for-7. Chaz, who got benched today, was also 0-for-7.
Well, there
so
you
I
go.
Feel like, I
we
feel
didn't lose
like,
anything.
Yeah, I feel like Dusty doing that tonight was kind of a look. Who is going to go out, like, kind of a light the fire under their butts? Who's going to go out there and win, play some ball for me type thing? Granted, the guys he put in were 8-for-2.
Well, so, let's look at it. Singleton got a hit. Yeah, Niner got a hit. I don't know if Myers did. Did Jake Myers?
He did. He got one.
There you go. So they all got hits. And the other guys they took the place of, they all got 0 for 7. But we brought up this. We were talking about this earlier. I think this is the best lineup they could put out there. And they had it one game. But I think they lost. Maybe they didn't. But it was Altuve, Peña, Alex Bregman, Yordan, Tucker, Abreu, Brantley, Chaz, and Yiner. The most ultimate, optimal, whatever you want to call it, lineup offensively that the Astros can put out there.
So that lineup, I believe it was against the Padres.
So maybe we won that.
So that was against the Padres. That's the game we won 12-2.
Well, there you go. That's a good lineup. So
we did do it. We did do the yesterday's game close to that, except we had not really close. We had Chaz and Dubon in there. Oh, we did the first game against the A's, that exact lineup, except we had Maldi catching, and we only got 3 hits. We're just switching out Maldi, not saying he was the reason, because he's your guy.
He is my guy.
Not so going to go in on Maldi.
So it was pretty close. Yiner only played one time.
Yeah.
He only played today. But let me go over the Staruskis here. Game 3, it was Hunter Brown. His last 7 games, 2-4. With a 6.83 ERA, 29 innings pitched, 22 runs. For me, ranking the starters 1 through 5, he's number 5 for me. But today, he did amazing. The scoring went like this, folks. I know you watched it. Bottom of the 3rd, Yordan with a 3-run homer. 27th home run of the year. Will he get... 88 RBIs. That's what I wanted to ask you. I was going to ask if he's going to get 30. Is he going to get 30 and 100? How many games are left? Like 14 or 12?
15.
I know there's only one homestand left.
15. We have 6 against the Royals and then 9 against winning teams.
I see he has more chance to get the RBIs than he does the 30 homers.
3 homers, like I said.
3 homers or 12 RBIs. Which one comes first?
RBIs come first.
I do,
especially
too.
Especially with the way the top of our lineup is hitting. RBIs 100% come first. I do think he gets to 30, though.
All right.
6 against the Royals, all on the road. I think he gets to 30. I think they're all on the road. But, yeah.
We had 3 games against the A's and then 3 games against the Royals. You're thinking that's 6-0 right there.
Yeah, but we're getting that's what I was. We're gonna get to that because those are the only 2 Hunter lost baseball teams. I mean, I'm close to thinking,
and we play them 9 times at the end of the year.
If we go 2-1 these next 3 games, we go 500 against the only 2 Hunter lost baseball teams.
Yeah,
we got to sweep, or at least something's got to happen these next 3 games.
All right, so after that, Alex Bregman hit a home run. And that was the 18th time. I didn't know this. And I don't even know if that's a lot. It seems like a lot. 18 times that the Astros have went back-to-back. Yordan's home run. What do you think about that?
Man,
what'd you say? It was 117. What was it about that?
The crazy stat is it was 117.7 off the bat. And that is the hardest hit home run in Astros history since StatCast has been around. Now, StatCast is only 2015, so about 8-9 years, depending on when it came in. But, I mean, statistically, with what you can keep track of, it's the hardest hit home run ever by an Astro. Which is just insane to think of, the guys we've had even since 2015.
Yeah, he wrapped it around the pole, too. I didn't even know it was a home run.
A walk, and then bam.
Todd Callis called it. I didn't see it. I mean, I saw it. I thought it might be foul. Then Yiner had an RBI double. Brantley came in 5-0. And then Kyle Tucker. I didn't even realize this. I'm not going to lie. He got home run number 100, which is awesome. But it was his first hit of the series.
Yep. First of the series, 100th home run. Now, what I think this is, if you remember, he was stuck on 99 RBIs. For a long time. Very long time. And he got over that against the Padres. And he's already up to 105 leading the AL. This is home run number 100. He's looking to be the first Astro to go 30 for 30 with homers and steals since Jeff Bagwell, who's the only other Astro to ever do it. I think now he's got this off his back. He's got the RBIs off his back. He's got Yordan in front of him. You know, there's protection all around him. It's time for him to just – this home run is going to spark Tucker for us. I think he's going to be back to start of the year MVP candidate Kyle Tucker.
So you're saying he was hung up on 100.
On 99.
You know, trying to get that 100th home run just like he was the RBIs. And you don't think the going for the 30-30 is going to hang him up? He's 27 and 28. No way he doesn't get that. Stolen bases for sure. I've seen him steal two bases in two pitches. So I know he's going to get the stolen bases.
Yeah, he's definitely going to get there.
He's got to get on base, though.
Man.
You can't go for 15 against the Oakland A's and get it.
You know, Kyle Tucker is the same way. He doesn't go in many slumps. But when he does go in slumps, it's for 4 or 5 games. And then he's good for 8 games. Then it's 4 games again. Then he's good for 12. You know, it's just this whole weird, like I said, this whole year has just been so weird. Just so weird for us.
Yeah, it's been a weird game. There was a lot of people like, we're never going to catch Texas. And we're like, dude, it's early. It's not early. It's not early. It's early. Chill out. We're good. Don't worry about it. And I mean, we're only winning the division by one, but I'm still comfortable. I mean, I think the Astros are going to do just enough to win it.
I think a lot of the fans that were doing that is what we talked about earlier. We're having a scoreboard watch this year. We're not used to it. So for the first time in a while, you're, oh man, can we actually lose? Are we not the best team in the AL by 30 games? What's going on?
Yeah.
So I think it's just the world is falling when it's really take it easy. And like Aaron Rodgers said a couple of years ago, relax. Just relax.
Aaron Rodgers. Uh-oh. All right. So this should have been, and it could have been, and it would have been the first thing we talked about tonight. The Astros had a no-hitter going into the 9th inning, a combined no-hitter. Hunter Brown, 5 innings, no hits, no runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. They were interviewing Dusty after the game, and someone asked him, why didn't you send him out there for the 6th? And he said, well, his pitch count was already sort of up there, and I wanted him to leave this game on a high note, and I'm okay with that.
Was his pitch count up there, though? He's only at 78. I don't believe that part, but I do believe the part he wanted to get Hunter on a high note. This game brings him 11-11. He's 500 pitcher again. I am really big on Hunter Brown. I think it was a good move by Dusty. You know, he was throwing everything, had a couple walks. I think he had 1 hit by pitch and 2 or 3 walks. So not the best there, but he looked good. He looks like he had the stuff, you know, that the fastball was there. Everything was there.
Yep.
And getting that ERA back below 5, low pitch count, keeping him good coming into the playoffs. And I know you said you have him as our 5th best.
His ERA was over 9.
Yeah.
September, but I think he's going to drive that down.
Oh, yeah.
But I like him not – I mean, if he would have went in the 6th inning and had 2 strikeouts and gave up a home run, it would kind of erase this feeling he had maybe. But he gets to walk out of the game saying, hey, I threw 5 no-hit innings in a Major League Baseball game. Montero, this guy is somebody everybody wanted to get rid of. I thought it was the greatest, like, when they – because they picked him up fast in the offseason. And he, it at times, has been garbage, but he's been good lately. He's been the Montero that we wanted. Neris did good. Abreu. Everybody did their job. Everybody did their job except Presley, who gave up a single and a sac fly, 6-2. Presley, 2 hits and a walk, gave up 2 runs. Now, I'm not really worried about that. That has nothing to do with my confidence in Ryan Presley, but I sure wish he could have no-hit those dudes. It could have been a great moment for the Astros.
So with Presley, you're thinking you bring him in to keep the no-hitter, or do you bring him in to take off the rust? Because he hadn't pitched since Saturday. So this is the first time he pitched in Saturday. The last 3 weeks, I mean, you go all the way back to the 20th of August, and he's pitched 5 times, 6 times. So I think it was more, let's bring him in, shake off the rust. We've got a big lead. Even if he gives up the hits like he did, it's more important to shake off the rust, get him fired up, get him going. And it worked. I mean, he gave it the hits.
Yeah.
We win the game.
I don't think Dusty or the Astros are worried about that combined no-hitter at all, because it's not a thing.
How many would it be for us even if it was a thing? Like four in the last couple of years, three in the last couple of years?
It's what we do.
We do it all the time.
It's what we do. So Yiner went 2 for 4 with an RBI. Jordan had a 3-run homer. Tuck had a homer. Bregman had a homer. And the Astros win 6-2.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So now we have to hand out some hardware. You said you listened to the show, right? So you know all the awards, player, position, Coach Rose Award. So who do you have as pitcher of the series?
I mean, you got to give it to Hunter, don't you?
I do.
I mean,
I don't have to, but I'm going to.
Hunter Brown.
So Framber did amazing. 7 innings, and he gave up a couple of runs, but 5 innings of no hit, he just stole it.
I think 5 innings of no hit, and it looked like he did have a little left.
Yeah.
So I think you got to give it to Hunter. I mean, honestly, anytime Brian Abreu pitches, it's hard not to give it to him. But you got to give it to Hunter Brown for this one, I think.
All right, who you got for position player? This one's kind of tough because the only one that really did – I was looking at it, and like Kyle Tucker had an RBI in, I think, game 2. And tonight he had a home run, but he grounded out and got that RBI with the bases loaded. So I'm going to tell you what I did. I'm giving it to Jordan Alvarez for hitting that 3-run home run, 117 miles per hour, because nobody really did anything. Game 1, we didn't do anything. Game 2, there wasn't much. Pena did okay. But, yeah, I'm just going to give it to Yiner. I mean, Jordan Alvarez.
I might give it to Altuve. He had a hit in every game. The other guys, nobody else had a hit in all the games.
There you
Altuve
go.
Altuve had a hit in every game. Today, he didn't have a hit today, but he had the run off the walk that gave Jordan the RBI. So he had a hit in the previous 2 games. And he still scored a run today. Like you said, Jordan had half of our RBIs just today alone. It's really hard not to give it to Jordan. But just not to be the same as you, I'm going to give it to Altuve.
You can do whatever you want because, like I said, it's not like we sit down right here. Who's the player of the series? This guy. Easily, without a doubt. No, you have to find somebody to give it to. That's how,
especially when you lose 2 games.
That's how difficult it is. So, Coach Rose winner, the person that overexceeds your expectations. Who you got on that?
So, I got to do it again. Hunter Brown tonight, coming in, 2-game losing streak. The world's falling, and exceeds the expectations with 5 no-hit innings, right? I mean,
so you're giving Hunter Brown 2 awards.
I've got, I mean, when you come out,
I don't know if that's ever been done.
It should have been
on this podcast.
It should have been a no-hitter today. And you come out, teams, the world is falling for the team. They're losing to the A's at home. We're going to blow the lead. And you come out and do five no-hit innings. And you're 10 and 11. You got 11 losses as a pitcher.
So there's people listening. They're like, why is this dude picking this guy for two awards? I'll tell you why, folks. He's my Rose winner, too. I give Hunter Brown both awards. It's because I was like, okay, Hunter's my Rose winner. And then I was like, whoa, he's my pitch. I'm going to give it to him. I don't care.
I mean, like I said, for a young guy to come into this spot on a losing streak, I mean, I know it's two games, but two games is a losing streak, especially late in the year in a division race. For him to say, hey, guys, not even get me a couple runs, get me one run, and we'll have the lead for a majority of the game. And then they exceeded that as well. He had no hits. I mean, you just got to give it to him. There, I don't think there's anybody else for the series you could.
Nope. Somebody I thought about giving it to is Jonathan Singleton because he hasn't played in forever and he got a hit today.
First start in a week and a half.
And everybody was like, what? All right, so Seattle beat the Angels 3-2. Texas killed Toronto 10-0. So your new standings, folks, Astros still in the lead. Texas one behind. Seattle is 1.5 behind. You take a look at the wild card race. Tampa Bay has an 8.5 game cushion. Texas has a half game cushion. And Seattle. So as of today, if the playoffs started tomorrow, three American League West teams would be in the playoffs. But Toronto's only one behind. But Toronto had it. Toronto had the opportunity. What do you call it? The fate's in your own hands. And they blew it. Texas dominated them.
You know, let me just rub some salt in the wound for Yankees fans here. I remember, I think at the start of the year, everyone was saying the AL West was the best division, not in baseball, in all of sports. We got Yankees and Red Sox looking out. We don't have that problem. We got three of the top teams in baseball right now. I mean, with the Mariners, they started out slow. The way they're playing, you look at every rankings, they're in the top five. We're in the top five. Rangers are in the top 10. I mean, the playoffs in the AL are going to be insane. I think we get three in because I think if you look at Toronto's track record of big games, you look what they did last year against the Mariners. What were they up 7-0 in like the sixth in game three of the wild card and they lose, which is why we faced the Mariners last year. I mean, they just always seem to crumble. I think we legitimately get three in, and I think it's, you know, it's going to stay the same standings. I think Texas and Seattle could swap because the last games are against each other. But I think we get three into the division, and the division is ours to lose with our remaining games versus theirs.
I think after Toronto, it's like Boston and New York, and they're like 6 and 8 games behind or something.
Both are 7.5 behind.
There you go.
Then you got like Cleveland and everyone else like 13. Yeah.
Cleveland's probably closer to Minnesota than they are making the wild card. You can look that up for me. Yeah. Anyway, the Astros.
They're 7 back of their division and 12 of the wild card.
There you go. So the Astros are 38-37 at home. They are 45-27 on the road where they are headed now to Kansas City. Kansas City, here they come. Kansas City, this is funny. I didn't even notice this till right now. The Astros have 45 road wins. The Royals have 45 total wins. 45-101. They have 26 wins, 26-46 at home. Javier against Greinke. It's always pretty cool to get to see Greinke. I was hoping for a Greinke JV matchup, but that didn't happen. JP France against Reagans. Sometimes I can't read my writing. And then Framber. So we got Javier, JP France, and Framber against Kansas City. We're off Thursday. So Greinke, Friday night is Greinke night. I will not get to watch the game because I will be announcing my very first high school football game.
Hey, you're joining me. That's what I do. That's what I do on Friday nights. Now, luckily, the reason I had to listen to the game on the road on the way home is it is homecoming week for our high school. So our game is actually tomorrow, so it can be televised. So I get to watch Friday's game for the first time in 3 or 4 weeks. But you're gonna love announcing high school football. It is awesome, electric.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the Royals. Looking at the Royals. So I said I'd get to this guy. The guy I am most scared of in our starting rotation is Christian Javier, because I think he is absolute live or die by that fastball at times. And as we know, what happens with fastball guys is it gets hit really hard and really far sometimes. And he's given up a lot of homers at times this year in starts. And if we do lose a game against the Royals, I think we do sweep them, but if we do lose a game, you know, Zach Greinke, he could pull out some crazy, interesting
Zach
stuff.
Greinke is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it could be that game against Javier. By the way, I'm looking at this. They are giving away tickets at those Royals games. There are some tickets for $5. Could you imagine being able to go to see the Astros for $5?
Could you imagine what Christian Javier's record would be? He's like 11-2.
And it doesn't make sense to me.
Because they score for him.
What did not make sense to me this year is looking at a lot of the odds for awards coming into the year. I like to put out a bunch of posts on my socials of who I think is going to win. Cy Young, MVP, Rookie of the Year, World Series, everything, right? I picked Framber, obviously. And Christian Javier had higher odds and better odds at every place that you could put wagers on than Framber. I could not for the life of me. I guess the no-hitter in the World Series. That's the only thing I could think of, you know, like recency bias, no-hitter. I just didn't understand it.
I think I talked about that a couple podcasts ago. Is that, I mean, I'm sure I've mentioned it at least 5 times this year, maybe. But Framber was like, I mean, not Framber, but CJ. You watch the MLB shows on TV, MLB Network. It's like, Christian Javier is going to lead the American League in ERA. Christian Javier is going to lead the American League in strikeouts.
They're calling him the Astros ace. He's got a 5 ERA, and he's 11-2. I don't understand. Or he's 4.78. You know, might as well be a 5 ERA. And I'm just so confused. Last year, he had 194 strikeouts. He's only at 130 this year. Last year, he pitched 148 innings with 194 strikeouts. After this next start, he'll be at the same amount of innings. And unless he gets 62 strikeouts, he's going to be way behind with the same number of innings pitched. I just, you know, last year.
I don't think he can get 62 strikeouts.
I don't think so. But last year.
Unless they catch the strikeout and drop it, or they drop the strikeout and the guy runs to first, he's going to have to do that like 30 times.
But yeah, I mean, last year he was averaging almost 4 strikeouts per walk. This year he's at 2.5. Last year in 148 innings, he gave up 89 hits. This year in 141, he's given up 129. He's given up 30 more runs this year in less innings. It just – that's why
I wish that I had the skills to look at his run support, but I don't have the time or the skills.
Yeah, but he is the scariest starter in our rotation for me. Some people I've talked to when Verlander came back wanted him at 2 and Verlander at 3. And I'm like, are you insane?
CJ will come in and give up 5 runs in the first 3 innings, but the Astros will score 20. Like, this is how, I'm exaggerating, but that's how it is. Like, they score for him and it's nuts. The guy should be 2-11, not 11-2. It's just crazy.
And to be fair, that's another thing we talk about a lot at the crew down here is, you know, last year we'd be like, oh, you know, if Garcia or whoever's pitching can just keep it within, you know, 4 or 5 runs, we'll win the game. This year we need our starting pitchers to give up 2 runs or you don't know what offense is going to show up. Mm-hmm. Last couple of years, it's like, yeah, we'll score 5, no problem. This year, we have no idea if we're going to score 15, if we're going to score none.
We have a really good record when we score 4 runs. I don't remember what it is, but they showed it. And when we score 3 or less, it's pathetic. It's really, really bad. But I don't know what it is. But I don't know where people get this stuff. I don't know how they look that up so fast.
Yeah, some guys are quick on it. I've got to take time and study it.
Yeah. But anyway, we are almost out of time. So if you have anything you want to add, that might have been what you wanted to add about Christian Javier. But if you have anything else you want to add, you got a couple minutes.
No, so something interesting I wanted to speak on real quick of this series that we talked about is, I'm gonna ask you a trivia question here.
All right.
Who coming into the season had the longest? Was the team that had not been no hit for the longest? So what team had not given up a no hitter for the longest amount of time coming into the year?
So what team has not been no hit the longest by another team? Okay. I would say the Astros because I don't remember it happening.
It was the Oakland A's coming into the year. They had not been no hit since 1991. German threw the perfect game for the Yankees against them this year, and then we could have had one tonight.
Dang.
And we dropped. So that tells you how historically bad this A's team is. Being the second team in baseball with 100 losses is going to be historically bad. And we went 1-2 against them. We've got to figure it out. We've got to.
You know, the thing that, also, we're running out of time, but you can think about this and we can talk about it another time. Love to have you come back. The thing about Oakland and even the Yankees is their seasons are over and they're playing their young guys. And these young guys are contributing.
That Dominguez guy for the Yankees is...
They're contributing. So it's good. It's a positive. They're ready for next year. As the Mets showed you this year, folks, you cannot buy a championship. You have to do what the Astros do. You have to do what Baltimore does. Grow your system, raise your own children, and win the games. Anyway, Steven, thanks for joining me tonight and everyone else out there. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. We'll see you next time.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Save big on brunch for mom. All in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.